5 days a year.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel, and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10, and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Montecito Bank and Trust, proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years. Pierre LaFond Wendy Foster, offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines. Habitat for Humanity, building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. And CSU Channel Islands, no matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And today we have Jenny Dugan and Carol Blachette, research biologists at UCSB's Marine Science Institute and co-authors of the new book for kids, I guess you would say, although it could be for any age kid, including someone my age, The Golden Forest, Exploring a Coastal California Ecosystem. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So you are probably in the position that most young kids today would love to be. Everyone, when you speak to a young kid, you say to them, what do you want to do? And it used to be a fireman, and now they say marine biologist. So is it as exciting as all these kids seem to think it is? Carol?
Yeah, I would say it is.
Don't get too excited now.
It's a great thing to do, and it's a great way to combine science and being outside and exploring and just learning about things.
Things, you use the word things. I wish some of our people in this country would consider it not just an opportunity to study things, but to study science, because some of our citizens aren't really convinced that science exists. And certainly in the marine biology area, science is such a critical part of our future. And one of the things that you've done in order to make sure that the next generation coming up is going to be cognizant of the importance of the environment is you've written a book called The Golden Forest. So tell us about that. What motivated you to write this book with Jenny?
Well, the book is actually part of a book series called the Schoolyard Book Series, which is through the National Science Foundation. And it's part of a book series that's focused on the research that's happening in the long-term ecological research sites across the country. And so this book really focuses on our local long-term ecological research site called the Santa Barbara Coastal Long-Term Ecological Research Program. And that program really is about learning about the coastal environment where the giant kelp grows, as well as the sandy beach ecosystems and the inputs to those ecosystems from the land and the ocean. And so one of the real motivation for the book was to try to communicate the science that's happening in this research program with a really broad audience. The book is written for kids that are in sort of elementary and middle school, but it's really read by, I would say, a wide variety of people, from adults to younger kids. And we at the Marine Science Institute have led field trips for a lot of the kids that are from the local schools in the area and beyond. And the book was really meant to be an introduction to these environments, the kelp forest and the sandy beaches, that we take the kids out to the sandy beach on their field trips so they could learn a little bit more ahead of time about those environments and about the kind of science that's happening in the SBC LTER site.
You mentioned Marine Science Institute. Tell us what that is.
So the Marine Science Institute is a unit at University of California, Santa Barbara. So it's kind of like a department, and it's composed of researchers that are studying various things. It's not all entirely marine, but a lot of the research is focused on aquatic ecosystems, and the people that study those ecosystems and the work that they do from Antarctica, you know, all the way around the world. So obviously this book focuses on the Santa Barbara coastal system, but a lot of the people in the Marine Science Institute work really all over the world.
And in the book, the protagonist is Owen and his cousin Nico. Can you tell us how those kids, how those heroes came into your and Jenny's mind?
Well, the two kids in the book, the inspiration for that was my own daughter. So my daughter, she just turned 9 now, but she, back when I was writing the book, was, you know, much younger. It takes a while to write a book like this. And her name is Nico, and she is really a kid that likes to get outside and explore nature. And my family is all in Colorado, so I sort of came up with a story that would allow for children to be outside exploring the coastal environment and exploring nature and learning from one another. Because I always feel like kids really have a great experience when they're figuring things out on their own and they're teaching each other without adults coming in and, you know, telling them all about everything. And so I really wanted the book to be about kids out exploring and learning and investigating and kind of helping each other out in that process. And so I kind of came up with a scenario where there would be a kid who lived in California somewhere, hypothetically, maybe Santa Barbara, and would have her cousin come out from another place that was very different, you know, and of course being in Colorado and thinking about mountains and forests, you know, the kelp forest is very much like a forest on land. It just happens to be underwater. And so I just felt like it was a great way for Nico, the character in the book, to be able to introduce her cousin to that environment and that they could figure things out together.
So when you were growing up in Colorado, you didn't have much of an ocean there, if I recall Colorado. So
no, there's not much in Colorado anymore. There used to be a long, long time ago.
Well, if we have an earthquake, we might have it again. But in the meantime, you didn't have Owen to show you. So what got you interested in marine biology, coming from a place that is as far away as you can get?
Well, and actually, my family's in Colorado now, but I actually, when I was little, grew up on the East Coast. I grew up in New Jersey, and so growing up there, my grandparents lived right on the ocean, and we spent lots of time at the beach exploring and, you know, doing the kinds of things that the character Nico in this book is doing, and just learning about the beaches and about the marine organisms like fish. My grandfather was a fisherman, and so we spent a lot of time looking at fish when he brought them home. And so, you know, that was just a part of life when I was really young. And obviously that's very different than a place like Colorado, but I feel like, you know, wherever you are, you know, the book isn't so much about the ocean environment. I think a book, you know, a kid that lives in Colorado or a kid that lives in Kansas could pick up a book like this and just become excited about, you know, their own adventures outside exploring.
Well, hopefully a kid that lives in the White House may be interested in it also at some point. In the meantime, Jenny, how did you get interested in marine biology?
Well, I think my story is remarkably similar to Carol's. My grandparents lived in a house close to the beach in New Jersey. And even though we lived all over the country, that was the place where I spent probably the most memorable vacation time in summertime, was on that beach in New Jersey. And so I developed a very strong interest early. I found science to be the thing that was really very important for keeping me interested and sort of making me feel like I had a potential to contribute, and it sort of evolved from there. It certainly wasn't a straight path from a beach in New Jersey to becoming a marine biologist, but it's all worked out.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
With this Las Cruces fire update, I'm Richard Dugan in the AM 1290 News Center. U.S. 101 has been closed in both directions due to a wildfire on State Route 1 west of U.S. 101 near the summit west of San Julian Road. U.S. 101 is closed from State Route 246 to State Route 1. Expect heavy traffic on the San Marcos Pass, CHP reporting that this could be a long-term closure. This has been a Las Cruces fire update from the AM 1290 News Center. I'm Richard Dugan inviting you to stay tuned to AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station, for continuing updates. Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone?
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Jenny Dugan and Carol Blanchette, research biologists at UCSB's Marine Science Institute and co-authors of the book The Golden Forest, Exploring a Coastal California Ecosystem. So this is a kid's book, but I wonder what your colleagues said about it. Did you get feedback from your colleagues?
We have gotten feedback from our colleagues. Yes. And, you know, I think the response is overwhelmingly positive. We actually, one of our colleagues mentioned that this is the first popular book they've seen that actually correctly ties the kelps to the sandy beaches. And there just aren't that many books that really connect ecosystems in nature. So I think that's kind of one of the things that people found really unique and important about the book is that, you know, it's really about understanding the connectivity of populations in nature. And a lot of that message about conservation really echoes on the fact that those relationships are the really important things that we want to conserve.
So Jenny, what did you do prior to coming to UCSB?
Well, I did my undergraduate at UCSB and my graduate work at UCSB. But in between those, I was a marine biologist for the California Department of Fish and Game, working up on the Wild Coast, the Big Sur Coast, in a mussel watch program. And then I sailed across the Pacific on a boat to Tahiti and found out I got into graduate school while I was on the boat between the Galapagos and the Marquesas.
How many people on the boat? Like, was it 2,000 people on a Carnival cruise line, or was it smaller?
Six
people.
Yeah, yeah. So that sent me home to graduate school, and after graduate school, I worked a variety of different positions, including one at Channel Islands National Park as a marine biologist, and then I was fortunate enough to have postdoctoral fellowships in South Africa and New Zealand. But after those, I returned to Santa Barbara and sort of made my way as a research biologist.
And Carol, the same question. How did you get, what were you doing prior to UCSB?
Well, before I, nothing quite as exotic as Jenny, but before I came to UCSB, I did my graduate work, my PhD at Oregon State University, which is where I was studying rocky intertidal ecosystems. And then I did a postdoc at the Hopkins Marine Station, which is in Monterey Bay, right next to the Monterey Bay Aquarium, which is where I think I really kind of fell in love with kelp and the kelp forests and started doing a little bit more work in that area.
So mentioning kelp leads me into something I was talking to Jenny about before the show, and it's an article that I read 6 months ago about a Dutch engineer named Joost Wouters, who has a company called Inrada, and again, speaking of Jenny's trip to South Africa, that he has been experimenting in South Africa using seaweed as a source of energy, and believes that seaweed is a more attractive and economically feasible solution to our long-term energy crisis than fracking. It's cheaper. It's also healthier for the environment. And the reason I'm bringing this up is, I'm curious if you've heard of his work, but also it's so interesting about how, you know, people are look at kelp or seaweed and say, this is just ugly, let's clear the beaches up. But there's a hidden asset. It's like sort of like herbal medicine. There are things around that really could benefit us, that if we don't close our eyes and are open to ideas, there are solutions to problems that are probably pretty powerful, that once we know about them, they could really help mankind. Now that I made that speech, does anyone want to comment?
I definitely agree. I mean, I feel like that's where, you know, what we want to instill in the kids today is that scientific curiosity, which leads them forward to think about, like, how can we do things differently than we've done them in the past? And how can we learn about ways that we can move forward in the future and use different sources of energy? It doesn't always have to be done the same way. And I feel like, you know, the ocean environment is, of course, largely unexplored. And kelp is just a fascinating, fascinating organism. I mean, it's in the most ideal places. It can grow up to 2 feet a day, and then just the productivity of that ecosystem is fantastic. And so I think, you know, it's really seaweed kind of gets a bad rap. It's a little bit underappreciated. And as you mentioned, you know, people see sometimes seaweed on the beach and they think it should be cleared off. But I think what they're neglecting to realize is that the birds that they love and these coastal environments, you know, those birds wouldn't be there without something to eat. And those things that the birds eat wouldn't be there without that kelp. And so it's really an important source of productivity, connecting the offshore environment to the onshore environment. And I know that that's something that a lot of people just don't necessarily realize when they go to the beach.
Jenny just showed me the book, so I haven't read it yet, but is that story in the book about educating kids about the importance of kelp?
Yeah, definitely. That's a big part of the book, is to really kind of tie those two ecosystems together. And I, you know, one of the common things that we run into when we bring kids and adults actually on field trips out to the beach environment is, I think a lot of people think about a beach as just a place to go and lay down their blanket and have a picnic, or maybe put their towel down and go surfing. But they don't really think about the beach as an ecosystem. And I would say, before I met Jenny, I didn't even have the appreciation that I have now about the beach as an ecosystem. And it's really, you know, Jenny and the kind of work that she does and she's done on the beach ecosystems, that's really revealed a lot of these important connections and how important it is to have that kelp on the beach for the things that we like to see there, like these birds.
You know, it's really amazing if you pick up on your comment about people not appreciating that the beach is more than a place to walk your dog, is that for eons, certainly in the last few hundred years, we have used the ocean as a dumping ground, as a big garbage dump. And you know, the lack of respect and the damage it's doing is monumental. So, you know, there are issues here that go probably well beyond, you know, kelp. You know, we keep throwing plastic into the ocean, or nuclear waste if there's a nuclear meltdown. I mean, for people who are as close as you are to the importance of the beach, it must be horrifying.
Indeed, yeah,
it is. It is.
The work that you do, I guess, is partly to do research, and I guess partly to do education. And I guess that probably, well, let me ask you, is it equally as exciting to teach a kid as it is to discover some new hidden biological reality of the ocean?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I feel like, at least from my perspective, I started out my career as a research scientist, and I really got interested in education. I taught classes at UCSB and really started thinking a lot more about the future, and working with undergraduate students really kind of led me to think more about the training and the preparation that they've had before they get to college, which kind of kept leading me down to lower and lower grade levels, thinking about how do we develop scientific literacy in these kids? How do we get them to appreciate nature? How do we get them to be inspired about stewardship of nature? And, you know, how do we just keep that sense of excitement going for those kids? And so a lot of the work that, you know, I don't even live in Santa Barbara now. I am the director of one of UC Santa Barbara's natural reserve sites in Mammoth Lakes, called the Valentine Eastern Sierra Reserves. And a large part of what I do here is oversee outdoor science education programs for elementary school kids, as well as overseeing the research aspects of the station. But I have to say that the work that we do in the outdoor science program with the kids, I find to be probably the most important thing that we do.
Where are we? If you look at people who are in the know about the polar ice caps, we're pretty much at the line of we better make a decision quickly about global warming. Where are we with the oceans in terms of, are we that close to where we're going to mess things up so badly that there may not be a solution? Are we at the red line yet, is what I'm asking?
I think we're not in great shape when it comes to a couple of different areas in the ocean. You know, certainly you've probably heard about the issue of plastics in the ocean. That's not just about large pieces of plastic that can be scooped out. It's about the fact that a lot of these components have broken down into such small microparticles that are being ingested by all sorts of marine organisms that we may be facing a scenario where it's really hard to recover from that or hard to clean that up in any easy way. We're also in a situation right now, I think, in appreciating the fact that we've largely overfished a lot of really important stocks of fish in the ocean. And those fish, if we don't change our course and reduce our fishing pressure and fish in more sustainable ways, we may be facing, you know, extinctions of different species out there. So I think we're doing things and we're educating people about those kind of issues is important. But I think, you know, when it comes to those sorts of things, people making sustainable choices in the seafood that they eat is one really important thing. And then just getting people more aware about the effects of all the plastics that they use, that it all goes somewhere, and a lot of it does wind up in the ocean, unfortunately. So I think people are becoming more aware of that. We're seeing, you know, bans, at least in Santa Barbara, on plastic bags and now plastic straws. So we're starting to go in the right direction, but we still have quite a long way to go.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, improving attitude, creating social harmony, bridging the achievement gap for teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and I'm here today with Jenny Dugan, research biologist at UCSB's Maritime Science Institute, and Carol Blachette, who is on the telephone, also at a research biologist at UCSB's Marine Science Institute. And, you know, I just read a thing about AHA, and AHA is about teaching teens. And while your book is for, I guess, kids from 6, 7, 8 years old, teens get really excited about the environment. And you just heard a commercial for CSU Channel Islands, one of our sponsors, and they're stationed at the Santa Rosa Island, and they're doing some great work there as well. And one of the things that they do is they bring kids there and, like your book, hopefully give them a sense of how important the environment is. You familiar with what Channel Islands is doing up there at Santa Rosa?
I certainly am, and I'm sure Carol may be as well, but I have been able to visit the research station, and I also have worked on Santa Rosa Island with National Park Service, working on their sandy beaches, actually, in particular.
So, you know, we talk about being a research biologist at the Marine Science Institute. What is the job description? How would you describe what that means? You're not teaching as much as you are doing research. So what kind of research are you doing?
Well, I am a researcher that certainly I'm working on a variety of research grants. I usually have several at a time, and they support graduate students as well as my undergraduates and usually a technician or two. And these research grants are from, you know, a diverse group of agencies, National Science Foundation, Bureau of Ocean and Energy Management, California Sea Grant, USCC Grant, just a whole variety of groups, California Coastal Commission, NOAA as well. So I get a variety of funding, and then with that funding I conduct research that fits the needs of these different agencies or also addresses basic science questions that need to be addressed. And one of our grants at this moment is specifically on the connectivity of kelp forests and sandy beaches. And we've actually tagged a couple of thousand kelp plants out in the ocean on the kelp forests of Santa Barbara with bright orange tags, and we've asked the public, when those tags wash up on the beach, to call us and tell us where those tags are. And we've gotten hundreds of wonderful data points from the public in Santa Barbara who are telling us where the kelp plants from individual kelp forests are landing on the beach. And one of our sort of exciting gee whiz pieces from this is one of our kelp plants from Mohawk Reef right off the Mesa in Santa Barbara drifted with its tag all the way to a beach in Santa Cruz, California during the winter. We also had one plant with its tag drift to a beach, and it was found and reported by a lifeguard on a Santa Monica beach. So we know from the study that a lot of kelp plants land close to home and basically feed the beaches near where the kelp itself grows, but that kelp can also go hundreds and hundreds of miles drifting on the currents offshore. So that sort of connectivity information is really valuable for understanding how both kelp forests and sandy beaches can interact to promote the very high biodiversity and productivity we see here in Santa Barbara.
And given our current government in Washington, are any of these grants at risk?
That's an excellent question. I hope not, but I certainly, we are concerned that the funding for science continue so that our basic science needs and our applied science needs can be met. Research is the only way to move forward with some of these questions. So funding research is very important.
And Carol, you're up in Monmouth Lakes now?
Yes.
So what kind of research are you doing up there?
Well, I'm, not doing so much research here just yet. Most of my position here is kind of keeping the field station, the research station here, up and running. So as I mentioned, we have several researchers here that are working on issues ranging from snow hydrology to the conservation of the mountain yellow-legged frog in the High Sierras. And so I sort of oversee the facilities here at the research station, and I also still am involved in some of the research happening at UCSB in the Marine Science Institute. I'm still an investigator on a project called PISCO, which is the Partnership for Interdisciplinary Studies of Coastal Oceans, and that project is looking at coastal marine ecosystems and looking at how the ocean influences the productivity of those marine ecosystems that are either in the Rocky Intertidal or the kelp forests offshore. And so I still have a lab at UC Santa Barbara, and we're still going out and doing a lot of that field work. So I'm a little bit split right now between the research happening there, but largely my world up here is dealing with education and support of the station, and hopefully we'll be getting involved in some more aquatic work up here soon.
So because you're so far away from UCSB, does that mean you can't work with UCSB students?
We actually work with a lot of UCSB students. We're part of UCSB, even though we're quite far away. We're part of the University of California Natural Reserve System, and we have two stations here. One is Valentine Camp, and one is the Sierra Nevada Aquatic Research Lab, and both of those are part of UC Santa Barbara, part of that reserve system. So UC Santa Barbara actually operates seven field stations or reserves throughout California. So we're the farthest ones away. And some of the ones that are right in the neighborhood of Santa Barbara are Koloa Point, Carpinteria Salt Marsh, Santa Cruz Island, and another site called Rancho Marino. And so I would say, thinking about this book, a large part of the inspiration of the images and the things that the kids are going out and doing came from Koloa Point, which is a place that both Jenny and I have done a lot of work at.
So listening to you describe what you do, I'm beginning to understand how, why so many kids want to be marine biologists. Sounds like you guys have a good gig going. it's not like you're working in Manhattan and taking the subway to work every day.
No, that's for sure. It's very varied. We really, you know, are outside a lot. We're asking questions. We're, you know, really kind of trying to learn more about the world around us. And I think that's something that I see in a lot of kids. And I think, you know, a lot of kids always ask me, you know, how did I become a marine biologist or a scientist? And is that something that they can do? And I always say, absolutely. You know, every kid out there who wants to do that, there's a path forward.
So is there any chance I could become a marine biologist, or is it too late?
It's never too late.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
With this Las Cruces fire update, I'm Richard Dugan in the AM 1290 News Center. Highway 1 has been closed in both directions from Highway 246 to the 101 due to a wildfire near the summit west of San Julian Road. Drivers are advised to expect heavy traffic on the San Marcos Pass. This has been a Las Cruces fire update from the AM 1290 News Center. I'm Richard Dugan, inviting you to stay tuned to AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station, for continuing updates. In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton, and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa, and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Jenny Dugan, and on the phone, Carol Blanchette, both research biologists at UCSB's Marine Science Institute. And you are involved with the Santa Barbara Coastal LTER, Long-Term Ecological Research Program. Tell us about that.
Well, it's the LTER is a national program. It's supported by the National Science Foundation, and it was started because there's the realization that many really important environmental and ecological events happen on time scales and spatial scales that don't fit your average research grant. So the National Science Foundation put together this program where you could make long-term observations of different environments and ecosystems and learn about how these long phenomena that operate on much longer term than a typical three-year research grant are affecting our environment and, by extension, our lives. So at this point, I think there are 28 sites, and they range from desert ecosystems to the mountains on the land and in the ocean, and also some land, but from Antarctica right out to coral reefs. And the Santa Barbara Coastal was the 24th site of the network. It was established in 2000, and it's one of a handful of coastal ocean sites in the network. The majority are terrestrial, so we're sort of a subset of that. And our main goal is to investigate, as Carol said, sort of the influences of both land and sea on this very productive giant kelp forest that we now know and that we wrote about in our book is so closely connected because it's the donor ecosystem that supports the Sandy Beach ecosystem as well. So we have a whole variety of investigators. We have more than 20 investigators and their students. It's very interdisciplinary. And our research includes long-term core measurements that we go out every year, or in the case of the beaches, we go out every month and make measurements at a selection of sites. In fact, our team is out this week doing their annual monitoring of the kelp forest. They'll go to every kelp forest that we study in Santa Barbara and measure an enormous number of things. Over 150 different species of organisms will be measured, their permanent transects that they swim and count and measure everything. So they're doing that right now as we speak. Today they were at, I believe, Arroyo Burro, but I'm not sure. They may have changed it because of the weather. So anyway, it's a big effort. We have incredible long-term data. And then we also do field experiments. So there are experiments where we remove kelp, where we alter the abundance of different organisms like sea urchins. We're also using the new marine reserves as an experimental system to look at the effects of fishing on the kelp forest. So we have an incredible kind of experimental component. The other thing that we added to this, because there's a lot of things you can't do an experiment on, especially, okay, in the lab, maybe you can do an experiment, but in the field, it's very difficult to do experiments on things. Like you can't remove the trees necessarily or the, you know, cause the fish to do something different. So we do these process studies where you do very intensive measurements to try to understand, you know, what the ocean current effects are or how a certain organism consumes a resource like kelp, things like that. So we have these very intensive process studies. And then we take these big three components, the long-term measurements, the experiments, and the process studies. We put that all together and try to synthesize some level of understanding. And in some cases, we actually feed these into models that will help us predict how the kelp forest and the closely connected ecosystems like sandy beaches will respond to things like environmental change driven by the climate and other factors that we see happening all the time.
You use the word enormous when you describe the kelp forest in off Santa Barbara. Is that, do we have a extra large kelp forest here, or is that true of all these beaches?
Our kelp forest, we have a lot of rocky reef, and the kelp forests grow very well on the rocky reefs, and there's a lot of tectonic uplift here, so the reefs have not been covered with sediment, with sand here in Santa Barbara. So our little points are anticlines and synclines, and so there's uplift going on all the time. If you go down to Ventura, those rivers put so much sediment into the ocean that there's very few rocky reefs and very few kelp forests off Ventura. But here in Santa Barbara, we have small streams and rivers, and our kelp forests are just outstanding.
So luckily, UCSB decided to put their school here.
Right.
So do you do collaborative work? There are like HelioOcean, and there are all kinds of groups here that want to make the ocean a better place. Do you work with any of these other groups?
I don't work directly with them, but I certainly work with to educate them, but I'm not doing studies per se with them.
And when you look at kelp, are you doing this on top of the ocean, or do you guys go into the ocean?
The LTR has observes kelp from every level you can imagine. So we observe it on the beach. We measure how much there is on the beach and, you know, when it comes in and things like that. We look at it from space using satellite imagery. We're using drones now to measure kelp, and then we also dive in the forest and count how many kelp plants there are and how robust they are in the forest. So we have every level of kelp observation.
So how do beaches differ from other intertidal ecosystems like rocky shores? What are the differences?
Well, I think there's several really important ecological differences. I also want to say that beaches are not recognized as ecosystems, as Carol mentioned, and that's a big sort of human difference, is that people don't realize. But part of the reason for that is on the rocky shore, you go out and there's these beautiful attached animals and algae, and at low tide, everything's just sitting there saying hello. As you walk out into the rocky intertidal, you can see a starfish, a snail, an octopus if you turn over a rock. On the beach, if you go out when it's light, everything's buried in the sand, hiding from the sun. trying to be as cryptic as possible, but that doesn't mean it isn't full of life. If you go out at night on our beaches, the life is amazing. There's nocturnal animals that emerge after dark and go all over the surface of the sand looking for kelp to eat. And if you haven't been out on one of our ungroomed, unmanipulated beaches to look at this, you've really missed a real wildlife phenomenon, because it almost looks like a ground fog when they're out.
And you don't need suntan lotion.
I know.
So these programs are supported by various government agencies. Do you have to convince them that this is important, or do they know it's important?
I think one of our major jobs has been also educating the agencies, and we have had really good colleagues in the agencies that have been open to our idea that beaches are actually very important ecosystems. They support unique and endemic biodiversity that is found no place else. So none of the organisms that live on the beach can live in the rocky intertidal or in a salt marsh. So that's one of the sort of pieces that recognizing that you have just unique biodiversity here. Santa Barbara beaches are also some of the richest in the world, so it's been a very easy sell. We have about 40% of our biodiversity is associated directly with giant kelp. So we've been able to demonstrate when you remove the giant kelp, you lose 40% of the biodiversity. And that's a big number. People listen when you lose 40% of the biodiversity.
You know, one of the important things about doing anything is passion. And I don't want to embarrass you, Jenny, but this is radio, so I have to tell our listeners, because they can't see you, that whenever you talk about something that is important to you, your whole face lights up. And so you're talking from really a sense of love and passion, which is, I guess, one of the reasons, again, people want to be marine biologists. I was in the stock market, and I don't remember anyone's eyes lighting up when they were talking about bond yields. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Jenny Dugan and Carol Blanchette, research biologists at UCSB's Marine Science Institute. And during the break, Richard Dugan, our engineer par excellence, can't shut up about talking to Jenny Dugan because they both have the same last name and they're searching to whether or not they have any relatives together. So, Carol, tell us about the UC Natural Reserve System. What is that?
Oh, well, it's very similar in some ways to the long-term ecological research sites that Jenny talked about. It's a system of 39 sites throughout the state of California, so it's really unique. California is the only state to have something like this. They're all operated out of the University of California, and they're places that support research, education, and public service. And those 39 sites span pretty much the broad diversity of ecosystems we have in California, so from the mountains to the deserts to the forests to the coast. Those are the 39 sites that are represented, and that system is alive and well, obviously, at UC Santa Barbara, that operates 7 sites of the UC Reserve System.
Is that a part? Is that is the Valentine Eastern Sierra Reserves part of that?
Yes, we are part of that. So we have 2 of the 39 sites up here in Mammoth Lakes.
Okay, so ignorant question. What does this have to do with the ocean?
Well, some of those reserves are on the ocean. Like I mentioned, Coloil Point, Carpinteria Salt Marsh, Santa Cruz Island, and Rancho Marino are the ones operated by UC Santa Barbara that are right on the ocean, as well as others that are operated out of other UC campuses, like, for instance, down at Scripps Marine Lab and up at Bodega Marine Lab. The sites up here, our focus is aquatic ecology at SNARL, which is Sierra Nevada Aquatic Research Lab. So it's not quite marine, but it still is wet. It's aquatic.
So is it true that Californians who are people who just love the beach, as white sandy beach, and really don't understand the importance of some of the things like kelp that make the beach less pretty to these people?
You know, I think there are certainly a large number of Californians that really do appreciate that, but I would love for every single person to appreciate that. I think that you know, sometimes, as Jenny mentioned, it is a little bit of a struggle to get people to understand and recognize that the beach is an ecosystem. You know, people just view it as a place that they go for a walk. And I think, you know, that's something that we're hoping to do is just sort of communicate and educate people about what's out there. I would have to say that, you know, the first time I went scuba diving in a kelp forest, I was astounded at the sheer numbers and diversity of organisms down there, as well as the light, the color, everything about the kelp forest and being in the kelp forest is almost ethereal and surreal.
How can people get more information? Do you have websites that if people listening want to learn more about what you do?
Certainly. People can go to the Santa Barbara Coastal LTER website to learn more about that project, as well as the Marine Science Institute website at UCSB. If anyone wants to learn more about the UC Natural Reserve System, they can Google that. And then, of course, up here at Valentine Eastern Sierra Reserves, I would love it if people were interested in finding out more about some things that are a little removed from the ocean, but nevertheless, really, this is a great place to be, and as much as I love the ocean, I love the mountains equally.
And finally, how do people buy the book for their kids, The Golden Forest?
Well, you can buy it on Amazon online, so it's available through a variety of online retailers. And we are still working to try to get that book become available locally. So I would say if anyone out there is listening and would like to see the Santa Barbara Museum of Natural History or Monterey Bay Aquarium carry that book, maybe just let them know that we're trying to get it distributed as widely as possible.
Okay, it's a beautiful book. I suggest that everyone go out and buy it, The Golden Forest, Exploring a Coastal California Ecosystems. Jenny and Carol, thank you so much for being here. You've been listening to AHA Presents About Education. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. It's 3:00.